Hallelujah. You know, I know some of you are facing things, are going through trials, but I'll tell you what, the same Jesus that is written about in the Gospels is the same Jesus Christ that is here yesterday, today, and forever. And I just tell you, you know, whatever you're facing, it's going to be all right.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right. You're going to get through that thing. You're going to make it to the other side. He has got you. He has not forgotten about you. He has not missed your situation. He will not leave you helpless. He will not leave you fatherless. Amen. That we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall man say unto me? Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, I'm glad someone's excited about the word here today. Yeah. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name. Father, you are so good. Yeah. God hasn't missed you. He hasn't missed you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He sees exactly what you're going through. Remember, you know, he's not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all ways, likewise, was tempted just as we are. If you've gone through something, if you feel something in your life, meaning you're going through a time of trial or whatever, I guarantee you he's been through something much harder.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. And it says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You can be seated. And then if you decide to shout some more, you can jump up when it's time to jump up again. But it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, Yeah. Praise the Lord. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, but now is sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. All right? Jesus had the cross, was set before him. I can guarantee you, you've never seen a trial what he has seen. You know, you've never faced crucifixion. You never faced the sins of the world. You never faced the death that he faced and the torment that he faced and paid for us in hell. You've never seen it. You've never been through a trial. But Jesus said that for the joy that was set before him.
Amen.
For the joy that was set before him. He wasn't looking at the cross. He wasn't looking at descending into hell for 3 days. He looked at the joy that was on the other side. And that is what is waiting for you on the shores. That joy. Amen. Well, just a little bit different here to start today. Sounds like we came to church with a rowdy group of people today. You know, normally this is where we have, you know, a second greeting, and I introduce myself, and we're still going to do that here in a moment. But I tell you what, the Spirit of God, you know, just came on me to start saying those things. Because there's those that are sitting here today just feeling, and that's exactly what the enemy would do. He would try to make your trial seem like it's unique. But I'll tell you what, trials don't make us unique. Trials are not unique. The word says that you have never faced any trial but such as common to man. It's common to man, meaning welcome to human life. But I'll tell you what, there's an answer, there's a solution. Yeah. And you'll get on the other side. You'll get on the other side. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Just bless him and worship him. You'll get on the other side because the eternal life, praise God, because of the eternal life that is on the inside of you. Amen. For the life of God that's on the inside of you. You know, and no doubt as you know, we welcome visitors every week to Family Church. And of course, we are just always so excited to see new faces, new families all the time. And folks walk in and, you know, and they'll see people, you know, lifting their hands, praising. Today, you're seeing people jumping out of their seats. You know, I remember when I came to what was this church. It was the founding church was in Fredonia. My pastor, Pastor Michael Laketic. And I remember those years back, 15 whatever years ago, and I walked in, you know, and I saw people really walking in joy. And I saw people praising the Lord, and I saw people jumping and shouting. And the first thought that came to my mind is that these people have to be faking that. You know, because I just thought that there's, you know, if I'm not experiencing it right at the moment, then how dare they? You know, when people jump up and when they praise God, they're not doing that because they're trying to be something or somebody or fit into a label. They're not doing that because they're trying to offend you or to make you happy one way or the other. They're doing that because it's real. And I know when people walk into a church and sometimes they see, you know, maybe how this church does things. And you look up and you see a pastor, you know, that's dressed in a suit. We don't have a dress code here at Family Church. If you want to come to church in jeans and a t-shirt, praise the Lord, it's just good to have you. You know, come as you are. But it's good to have a standard as well. It's good to set a standard. You know, because the world tries to set standards so low, but, you know, we want to set standards high. But anyway, people will come in, and they will look at people, and you might see people dressed nice or, you know, because there used to be a thing in this country called Sunday best, you know. But now people honor the Lord with the same honor that they honor the movie theater with. Anyhow, but people will come in, and they see, and they think, oh my goodness, everyone's got it figured out. They all are just happy because they've had it good their whole life. If I went through and started telling all the stories of what people have been through, what God brought them to the other side, you would understand why they're jumping, why they're shouting. You say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like jumping and shouting. Well, I'll tell you what, when's the last time God needed your feelings? When's the last time your feelings, why are you asking your feelings permission? Yeah. Well, I got to check my feelings real quick. No, check the Word. And don't do what your feelings say. Do what the Word says. Well, I'll tell you what. We're not going to let the rain outside. We're not going to let the circumstances of the week. We're not going to look at what you've been through. Listen. It's just common to man. Yeah. It's common to man. And you know what's common to God is you walking in victory. He's just, you know, that's common for him. God doesn't look at your trial and say, oh my goodness, look what they're going through. Hold on, I better pace the floor. Jesus doesn't get up off the throne because of what you're facing. He doesn't get nervous, you know. So why are you pacing the floor? Why are you nervous about it? He's not. You know why? Because God dwells in all time periods all at once. He already sees what it looks like on the other side. He already sees what you are doing on the other side of it. And so trials are going to come to everybody. And so you can decide, well, let's see. It's going to be easy to rejoice when the trial is over. Some things just end because they expire with time. You know, some things. Now, of course, you might as well, you know, I read a story of a gentleman. This is going to be a weird illustration, but I'm going with it. I read a story about a gentleman who decided to jump inside an aqua bubble. You know, it's like a big gerbil wheel that floats on water, and that he was going to run from Florida to Bermuda in this big inflatable thing. And I'm thinking, you know, if you really want to get to Bermuda that bad, why don't you put a little something on the back of your rig there? Put an outboard motor on that thing. Or at least bring some oars or something. Of course, he didn't make it, and the Coast Guard told him not to go. He had tried it once before and didn't make it. They said, don't try that again. He tries it again, gets it. He says, oh, this time I'm going to make it. And then he gets in trouble, and he calls the Coast Guard, and they got to fly the helicopters out there. You know, maybe if you would have kept going, he could have struggled, and eventually, with so much time, you know, he would eventually landed in Bermuda eventually. But you know what? Time can take you across some things, but if you have a power motor, if you have a motor, you might as well just hook it up. You might as well just get to the other side a lot faster and more efficiently, because they found him. He's exhausted. He is dehydrated. He was sick and you know, had been out there for I don't know how many days or whatever. And so they haul them over. But you know what? If you put the motor on the other side, you can arrive to the other side a lot faster,
yeah.
a lot healthier,
yeah.
a lot happier,
yeah.
you know? And so I just say this, we're all going to cross the same ocean, so to speak.
Yeah.
But you might as well just hook up the motor of God's word
yeah.
and get there happier,
yeah.
healthier, you know? Because I'll tell you, it's easy to rejoice when you are on the other side. But faith rejoices before you make it to the other side. And so you're saying, well, these people jumped up because, you know, they just aren't facing any trials right now. Oh, no, you have no idea. You know, they're not jumping up. They're just strapping on the motor. They're just decided that they're going to get to the other side. And they're going to get there faster than the rest. You know, I remember, and you've heard me tell, well, this is different. This isn't obviously what I have prepared, so we'll just go with this. You know, there's so many times where people, you know, they look at somebody, you know, rejoicing or whatever, and they just think, well, they're doing that because of feelings or whatever. No, that's what you do in the face of feelings. You know, that's what you do in the face of the trial. That's what it looks like. All right. People that stood up and shouted weren't standing up to shout because they weren't going through something. They decided to jump up and shout to get through something. To get through something. You're going to go through it anyway. Jesus said over there in John 16:33, he said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you have peace." He said, in the world, you will have trials and tribulations. In the world, just the world itself is a troubling place. And you'll have trials and troubles, you know, just because you're on this rock. Right? He said, but be of good cheer. He said, but be of good cheer. He said, but be of good cheer. And people say, well, you know, I just have cheer on the inside. Folks, if you're new or you're visiting or maybe you've been here for a while and stuff like this just makes you uncomfortable, then you might not like heaven too much. He said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you will have peace.
That's right.
He said, in the world you will have. You will. Yeah. You will.
Yep.
You're going to come up against trials in your job.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You're going to face, you know, trials in your family. You might face a trial in your body. You're going to come against financial trials. Okay, and you think, well, financial trials, they don't happen to people that have money. Yeah, they're tried, just like you are. You know, a lack of money can be a trial, and having too much more money than you have character, that can be a trial too. It can come both ways. You know, he said, in the world, you're going to have these trials. He said, but be of good cheer. See, you thought that good cheer... You thought that good cheer was just because of good feeling. You say, no, in the midst of your trials and your troubles, he said, here's your assignment. How many of you know, the Bible says that everything that was written for purpose.
Yes.
For our visitors, by the way, I'm Pastor Tim Stallman. We're so glad to have you here. We're so glad. We're honored, okay? We love you. We're not skipping you. We love you. It's such a blessing to have new faces with us all the time. But when he said, in this world, you're going to face trials and troubles.
That's right.
He didn't say, but be of good cheer. Jesus wasn't writing a poem. He wasn't just trying to sound poetic. He wasn't the Hallmark Jesus standing there, you know, with one hand out, one, you know, with a halo around his head, but be of good cheer. That was the instruction. He gave instruction for the trial. He said, but he didn't say, but be of good feelings. He said, but be of good cheer.
That's right.
He said, but be of good cheer.
Yes.
Because that's the only way that there is to handle a trial. Because when the devil steals your cheer, all right, then he stole your way out. Because cheer is the way out. Joy is the way out. Well, praise the Lord. I'm throwing out my sermon. It doesn't. Everybody now is excited that the sermon is getting thrown out. You know, he said, but be of good cheer. And he said, why you can be of good cheer. Can you bring that up, please? John 16:33. We'll put it up there. I don't want you to think this is my opinion. But before I got to stay with this flow. I'm not going to get overly teachy because it could dry it right up. Because there's things that we're saturating in right now that, yeah, do I have notes? I have hundreds and hundreds of sermons right there in that gizmo. And I could get those out and we could preach. And I had plans to just, you know, keep it nice orderly. But this is what the Spirit of God is saying. Jesus said in Revelation 2:29, Jesus said, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so the Holy Ghost has interrupted our service today. And we want him to interrupt our service. Jesus said, these things that I say unto you, he said, you know, I speak these things unto you because in me, so that in me you will have peace. I've got the right scripture. In me you will have peace. In the world you will have trials and troubles, or King James says tribulations. All right, he says, but be of good cheer. That is the instruction. And now the reason why we can be of good cheer, Jesus said, because I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. And you might just stand there and you look and you say, well, I'm so glad Jesus overcame the world. He didn't overcome the world for himself. He overcame the world for you and for me. Can you bring up the Amplified version? Love the Amplified. You know, I almost sent out a text message to the church yesterday about a direction that we might go. And I didn't because I felt that it might be too cheery. So, oh my goodness, pastor's not about to, I just felt like I couldn't word it in a way that just didn't seem flowery. And then I didn't want to say, come to church because it's going to be a flowery and happy message, and then get the daylights convicted out of you. But then what I was really sensing and picking up is the Holy Ghost had a cheery service for us. Praise the Lord. And I believe there's thunder. Is that thunder out there? Or is it just the Spirit of God shaking the building? I'll take either one. Glory to God. And so what is this? Listen, you know, praise God for conviction. How many of you have ever been corrected by the word? Yeah. As the Father, you know, Jesus said in you know, Revelation 3:16, as many as I love, I rebuke. Right? Proverbs 3:11, you know, my son, grow not weary of his correction, right? For the Father will correct you like a son in whom he delights. You know, so correction is of God. But how many of you know that it cannot be only correction? How many of you know that those of you that have children, you cannot just correct your kids without encouraging them? And so what is the Father doing here today? He's encouraging us. He's encouraging. You know why? Because you've been faithful during a difficult time. You thought that your trial was about you, but it really wasn't. It was things that God is trying to do in the body of Christ, churches he's trying to plant, souls he's trying to get to and save. But he needed a people that will walk with him and be faithful to him. And you've done that. And so God is using this message or this time this morning to encourage us. To encourage us. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. It's going to be good. The path of the righteous grows bright and brighter unto the perfect day. Who will love life and see many good days? Let him refrain his lips from evil and his tongues that speak no guile. Who will love life? Just stay the course. Stay the course. You're being faithful. God has not forgotten about you. But it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. Aren't you glad? In the world, you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. No, not us. That's a bad confession. That's not faith. People take the faith message, they try to make it say things it doesn't. Jesus is just stating a fact. You're in this world. You're not of it, but you're in it. And trials and troubles, distresses and frustrations, they happen to everybody, even the most faithful, even the most honorable and loyal. He says, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, be certain and undaunted. He says, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. You know, the devil might be a lion, but he's a lion with no teeth. He might have a loud roar, but Jesus stole his bite. There is nothing he can do to you. If he could have killed you by now, he would have done it long ago. Come on. If he would have, if he could just take you out at any given moment, he would have done so before now. But see, here's the difference between us and the world. We know something they don't. We have something that they don't. We don't have to conquer the world. You don't have to run across the ocean in your gerbil bubble. Because isn't it better when the motor does the work for you? And my job is not to conquer the world. My job is to simply have faith in the one who did. My job is just what? Be of good cheer. Because people that believe that he conquered the world for you are of good cheer. You know why people jumped up? Because they believe it. I believe that Jesus deprived the world of power to harm me. I believe he conquered everything for me. Oh, man. So, Lord, I thank you. Anything I've faced, you were there first. Everything, you know, every trial, every obstacle that you go over, guess what? Your footprints aren't the first one there. He's been to your future. He jumped over the hurdle first. You know, you're visiting on an interesting service, and you know, some people, if your mind, if you're carnal minded, like we all get at times, you know, and your mind starts going on tilt, saying, "Oh my goodness, what did I walk into?" You walked into what God planned for church the whole time. You know, you actually walked into a place. See, unfortunately, we live in a society today that when we actually do what the Word says, because we haven't seen it, we haven't seen it. The churches in America have gone so seeker-sensitive, they don't dare act like this, at the risk of somebody might think something of us. Well, you know what? They think it anyway. And so we can hold back for the sake of the world, or we can do what God says to do. This is what it sounds like when you do Psalm 35:27. Let them shout for joy and be glad. That's what it looks like. Glory to God. That's what it looks like. Yeah. And you wondered what it looked like when Hebrews 13:15 says, you know, by Jesus, or because of Jesus, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit, see, the churches in America have grown so cold, they hear the fruit of the lips and they call it a cult. You know, we've had services like this before and people have walked out and said, oh my goodness, it's a cult. Well, you know what? Sticks and stones. You know, I've had people say, Do you know who I am? I do such and such in this city. I say, I don't care who you are. Meaning, I love me. You know what I mean? Meaning, your job or your title. Listen, I talk to God every day of my life. He's a lot bigger than you are. Say, well, aren't you scared of our opinions? No. Well, then I just won't come here. Adios, Chuck. Because if you are looking to control a church with your opinions, you've come to the wrong place. Because your opinions, my opinions, don't matter. This is what it looks like when you do this. This is what it looks like when it says in Psalm 67, let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth will yield her increase. And our God, even our God, shall bless us. You say, well, what is this? I don't understand it, and I have to admit, I don't even like it. But the thing is, God uses the things that you don't know and understand to be your greatest help. Say, but I'm so uncomfortable right now. Well, because you're in the presence of the Lord. And the Bible says that no flesh will glory before him. Say, well, my flesh is so uncomfortable. My mind is just reeling at the thought of this. Sometimes I just got to get out of here right now. Well, the reason why your flesh and your mind are reeling is because it's everything your spirit needs. And God has chosen the things of the world that seem strange to our flesh. We don't understand with our mind. Those are the things that he has chosen to be our help.
Amen.
Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase. See, you're waiting for increase. There's not one soul that walks through those doors that wouldn't love to see increase in their life. What fool sits around and says, I don't want increase. I don't want increase spiritually, emotionally, financially, maritally. No. How many of you want increase in your life? Let the people praise thee, O Lord. Let all the people praise thee. For then the earth shall yield her increase. See, you know, it's a cause and effect relationship. The very ground that you live on, the very ground that you work on, the very ground that you invest in. How many of you plan on walking on earth today? Thank you for your hands. I wasn't sure. Well, the earth will yield her increase when God's people praise him. And people say, well, it's just in my heart. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Can't say it's on the inside and then have nothing coming out your mouth. That's a lie. It's in the praise is in my heart. Well, you better move it to the mouth. Because God says in Isaiah 57, verse 19, he said, I am he that creates the fruit of your lips. It says in Proverbs 13, 2, a man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth.
Right?
A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth.
Right?
Psalm 63, verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. My lips. Oh, no, just my heart. Well, it's not in your heart until it's coming out of your mouth, according to the scripture. It says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise thee. You know why these people jumped up and they shout? Because they've tasted the goodness of God. You know? Because it wasn't your opinions or your criticisms that delivered them.
That's right. Don't need it.
You know? You didn't give, your opinions didn't give them their joy. And your opinions can't take it away. Say, Pastor, you're criticizing me for not jumping up. No. Don't misunderstand that. I'm saying when the opportunity arises, and even when your flesh, you know, is working against you, I dare you to jump into the flow of God. Because, you know, I've told you many, many times that my personality and my flesh is not to do those things. But I'll tell you what, you better get over yourself if you're going to get to God. Amen. So praise the Lord. So all this to say, when you see the scriptures being demonstrated in your midst, that is not the time to get offended. That's not where, you know, you look at it and say, that's craziness. Do you realize if you could look through a portal and see into heaven right now, if you have loved ones there, guess what? They are way crazier than you are. They look at you, and there's people that are going to get to heaven, of course, that maybe never, you know, did this on earth or whatever, and they're going to get there, and they're going to say, oh, my goodness. I never realized all the praising, all the dancing, all the rejoicing that there is going to be. And there's also times when the Spirit moves in stillness. The Bible does talk about there's times when the Spirit moves in, when the Spirit moves in that direction, we obey that too. But when it's time to celebrate, when it's time to rejoice, it's time to rejoice. Because God's encouraging you today. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side. He hasn't forgotten, because he is your helper, and you will not fear what man shall do to you, what man shall think about you. I don't care what man says to you about your trial or whatever. Listen, the season is going to change. And when it changes, will you be able to look back and say, well, I went through it with joy? Or did I just spend time in the gerbil bubble? That guy, when he was out there paddling, floating around, tumbling around in his big ocean gerbil ball, little did he have an idea that he'd be an illustration for a church in Jamestown, New York. But you can get in there, and you can paddle, and you can tumble around, and you can dehydrate yourself and wear out and get frustrated, and then you're the one that's got to keep calling, I need the helicopter again. I need the helicopter again. I need the rescue boat again. I need rescued again. I need rescued again. Just take the boat in the first place. Say, well, I'm just going to sit around, and then when I get into trouble, then I'll call for the rescue. God doesn't work that way. I'll just wait, and you know, I'll do it under my strength, and then when I burn myself out, then I'll call for the rescue. And God will be merciful once, twice, three times, or whatever. But there comes a time where he says, you know what? You heard a message at church. That message was your life draft. That message was the way out. Amen. And I'm telling you, a message like this is, it's simple. It might even just be downright annoying to some. Again, we don't care. But it's, you know, it might be totally rocking your theology or making your flesh cringe, but I tell you what, it's your answer. It's your answer. Say, well, I don't want to be crazy like them. Well, then you don't want to be blessed like them either. If you saw your relatives in heaven right now, they'd look down at you and they would say, oh, man, just listen, eternal life does not begin when you get to heaven. Eternal life began the moment you accepted Christ. And the same eternal life that they have in heaven is the same eternal life that you have living on the inside of you right now. And see, in heaven, they're just more aware of it. You know, and they have a revelation. They come in and they go, oh my goodness. You know, and so that's why the Bible talks about dancing, rejoicing, liberty, you know, because that's what's in the presence of the Lord. And that's what they're experiencing. And so how many of you remember the Lord's Prayer? Jesus told us to pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But why don't God's people on earth act like God's people in heaven? Say, well, I don't think that's what I got. I got to act like that. Because I'm stuck in my ways. That's not what the church I grew up in taught me. I don't like this. Well, let's just see how your grumpy pants makes it through your trial. You ever seen a stubborn little toddler or whatever that just wants to sit in his diapers? You ever seen a stubborn toddler want to sit in his dirty diapers? That's a lot of Christians today in the days that we live in. I'm just going to sit in my stinky diapers and I'm not going anywhere else. Well, that might be okay for a little while, but if that 2-year-old turns into a 5-year-old and turns into a 10-year-old and turns into a 15 and a 20 and a 30-year-old and they're still sitting in their stinky diapers, that's what some Christians are. And they say, I've been a Christian for 50 years and I never did that and I'm not doing that. I've reached a pinnacle. Well, I've been a Christian for so long now, and so, well, you can, if you want to, be 40 years in and still sit in your stinky pants.
That's true.
God'll let you. God'll let you. But the trial won't. But the test won't. The test will beat up on you. Praise the Lord. Go to Ephesians. And we're just going to, you know, we might wrap this up pretty quick here. You say, well, what's a Holy Ghost service? You're in one. See, but Pastor, this doesn't happen in some places. Well, it doesn't, not because God didn't want to. God, there's nothing elite about family church. Nothing at all. I don't care what name is on the front of a church. If they'll do the word, that God will move in.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
But he's going to have a hard time moving in if you just have, you know, preconceived ideas. Like, no matter what, I'm not doing this. Well, then you'll stay a baby.
That's right. That's true.
Go to Ephesians 4. In verse 11, and it says this, and Jesus gave some, it's talking about the gifts that he gave unto mankind, as he references in verse 8, talking about the gifts unto men. And Jesus gave gifts, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints. That word perfecting means maturing.
Yes.
And the pastoral office is used to mature the saints.
Yes.
All right, don't you want to mature your children?
Yes.
It's, you know, the diaper stage is fun, but isn't it a lot better when they get old enough to clean up their own room?
Yes. Amen.
You know, whereas you used to change their diaper, now they're vacuuming the floor.
Yes.
Glory to God. Gotta love that. Why? Because you want them to grow up. And so God gave pastors to mature us for the perfecting of the saints. That's a reference to you and I, those that are born again. It says for the work or to do the work of the ministry. It's not talking about the pastors doing the work of the ministry. That's already implied. It's talking about the saints doing the work of the ministry. So you never realize that you're in ministry. Well, you are if you're born again. It says for the edifying of the body of Christ. So a pastor, along with the other ministry offices, they will mature the saints so that they can do the work of the ministry, and they will edify or strengthen the body of Christ.
Yes.
Right? Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Has anybody here today arrived at the fullness of everything Jesus is? No, you haven't. Good. We're not lying. We're telling the truth. No, we haven't, right? We haven't. We have not made it there yet. But look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Now, of course, that's not talking about naturally. It's talking about spiritually. You cannot stay a spiritual infant forever, because the world's going to keep coming at you. And you're going to face big boy trials. And when the big boy trial arrives, you better have your big boy pants on. All right, you cannot remain a child. You send a child into battle, they're going to get hurt.
Sure, that's right.
They're going to get hurt. It says that we henceforth be no more children. Of course, naturally, you're going to get older no matter what. So it's not talking about being a natural child. It's talking about being a spiritual child. You cannot remain a spiritual infant or a spiritual toddler forever. It says tossed to and fro. People that refuse to grow spiritually are what? Tossed to and fro. And notice this. They're carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Christians that do not grow up, they are prey to be deceived by any false doctrine that they hear. And so when I teach these things, and I encourage you to do these things, it's so that you may grow up spiritually. You say, well, Pastor, to grow up spiritually, are you saying that there's times that we actually rejoice and shout and praise like a child? Yes, if you want to grow spiritually, have faith and response just like a child. Amen. Say, well, that just seemed childish. Exactly. Well, I'm going to be sophisticated and dignified. I sit in church and I'm sophisticated and dignified. I would never show myself to be fool for anybody. Well, that's not what Paul said.
No, that's right.
Paul said, I'll be happy to be called a fool for Christ's sake. King David, when he got excited of the Ark of the Covenant, right, coming out of the house of Obed-Edom, everyone looked at him and said, you know, here he is, the king. He's great notoriety, great fame, Mr. Dignified, right? He takes six steps with the Ark of the Covenant and comes to a place and he just says he danced before God with all of his might. His kingly robes were flying. He was showing off his thighs. Woo! He was going bonkers. And remember what his wife said? Why are you acting like a foolish child? Michael, not that you wives say that to your husbands here. But he said, well, I will be undignified for the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
He said, if I have to be undignified, oh, praise the Lord. That we henceforth be no more children. People have sat there with their dignified nature in church for so long, they've forgotten what it is to even be in the presence of God. This is the presence of God. Do you think the presence of God, you're going to go there and sit in a chair with a pout on your face? You're going to get to heaven. Do you think the faces of those people are going to look like they've been sipping on lemon juice and turpentine? No, that's what, unfortunately, what God's people on earth look like. But in heaven, it doesn't look that way. They say, don't be tossed to and fro. Don't be carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, that you may grow up into him in all things. All things. All things. Our praise needs to grow up. Our worship and our ability to celebrate needs to grow up. Jesus said, but be of good cheer. Why? Because that's growing up. Why? When Jesus said that, he was talking about in the midst of the trial and the tribulation, be of good cheer.
Yes.
Right? A lot. Let me show you. You never realize how praise is a protection around you. Go to Psalm 5. Psalms chapter 5. Well, let your praise grow up. You say, well, see, you thought the foolishness was the ones that jumped up. No, they're ones that are growing up.
Amen.
Say, well, Pastor, that just, you know, and believe me, that doesn't mean, you know, be led. You don't force that.
Yeah.
You know, but at the same time, when you see the platform, you see people that walk close with God and it's a time to rejoice, we'll jump in. God, rejoicing never hurt anybody. I've heard some people criticize churches because they praise God, they dance and stuff like that, and they say, well, it's not necessarily a move of the Spirit doing that. Well, God's never going to criticize somebody being in joy over the things of God. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Like Kenneth Hagin said, I'd rather have a little wildfire than none at all. You know, I'd rather go to a celebration than a funeral. I'd rather go to a resurrection than a burial. Verse 11, Psalm 5:11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever sit there and be quiet and nervous in their seats. Oh, was I misquoted the word, I'm sorry. Let them ever shout for joy. Because God defends them. Who does God defend? The shouters. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Boy, you'd almost think that it said be sorrowful in thee. Be sad. I'm just sad in Jesus today. I'm just sad because I'm born again. I'm sad that I've been delivered. I'm sad that he deprived the world power to harm me. Come on now, that doesn't make sense. Why? It says in verse 12, because thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. Notice verse 11 and 12 are connected. For, that word for means because. Because thou, Lord, he's talking about those that shout for joy, that rejoice. He said, he will bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield.
Amen.
Sounds like the defender in verse 11.
Yes.
Who's he defending? The shouters.
Yes.
Who's he defending? The praisers.
Yes.
Say, well, that's not what I've been taught. Well, grow up into it then.
Yes.
Grow up into that.
Good.
You know, we've had services and, you know, and there's times people just go for a run.
Sure.
Wonderful. And I've looked over and I've seen, you know, my children just all of a sudden just go for a run. Remember when Jesus said that? He, you know, he talked about the children dancing in the streets. And the people, the grown-ups, stood over at the curb watching. And Jesus said, unless you're going to become like one of these.
That's right.
Unless you're going to become like one of these. I look and I see my kids with a big smile on their face. You know, what is that? It's heaven on earth. It's heaven on earth. You know, they don't need their feelings permission to be happy. You know, I mean, woo, there they go. And they jump in with God. But yet the grown-ups sit on the curb. Yeah, well, I'm too grown up. Well, Jesus said, you better lose your distinction. You better lose how dignified. People say, well, I'm educated. Well, would the education educate the Holy Spirit right out of you? Education sometimes is just another way of saying you fed your brain more than you fed your spirit. Thank God for education. I have an education. I have a 4-year degree. I took a master's program. I'm a former a school teacher. I know that. I know education. But I also realize, too, that the degree on your wall does not... it's not like a ticket that says you don't have to rejoice in the Lord anymore. And you better make sure that that education and that distinctiveness and, you know, I'll tell you what, I'll be honest. You know, I was real tempted that way, especially early on in my when I started pastoring. I felt like, you know, there better be this dignified nature, which, praise the Lord, we should be grown up and mature and we're adults and things like that. But when it's a time to rejoice, I don't care about the opinions of what people think.
Amen.
I'd rather be like a child in those things. I'd rather shout for joy, be joyful, because he defends me and he's surrounding me with his favor like a shield. There is a shield of God's favor around this church. There is a shield of favor around your life. There is a shield of favor around those that praise. Yeah. Amen. And so we're just growing up into these things. And you say, well, I'm just not there yet. Well, that's okay. Get scriptures on it. Because I wasn't there either. And believe me, there's so many things I'm not there. Don't ever, ever misunderstand my words to think that I've arrived. Because the second you say you've arrived is a clearest sign that you have not. And just like if you say you don't have pride, that means you stink of it, right? You know? But if you're not there yet, I remember I grew up in a denomination that would not and did not teach these things.
Right.
I remember there was one guy in my church during praise and worship, or we would sing hymns or whatever. I remember him lifting his hand, and everyone's eyeballs radiated over to that guy like laser beams. dagger eyes, the hairy eyeball. You know what I mean? Giving them the old hairy eyeball. Like, how dare you step out of the box of our religion? How dare you step out of the box of our tradition? How dare you actually do something that expresses something towards God? And everyone shouted that man down with their eyeballs. And I remember that guy. I remember him just standing there. And he didn't care. And I remember the temptation to jump in with the bullies and to think, what is wrong with that guy? And now I go and I read the word and I say, well, what is wrong with us? What was wrong with us? He wasn't the wrong one. We were. Amen. What was he doing? He was growing up. What was he doing? He was growing up. Because when you grow up, you look up, you shout up, you rejoice up. And you don't care about what people think of you here. You say, well, Pastor, aren't you nervous that a message like this and a service like this will chase people out of the church? First of all, the Spirit of God knows how to win the harvest. And maybe you came in here needing a message on marriage. Maybe you came in here in a financial trial and you feel like, I needed a message on finances. Or maybe you came in with a trial in your body and you needed a message on healing. And you think that this doesn't fit. No, this is exactly what you needed. Because we see in the Bible that people are healed when they praise. They're delivered when they praise. Amen. Praise the Lord. They rejoice and they respond. Why? Because be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Count it all joy, my brethren. You bring that up there real quick, James 1 and verse 2. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse trials and temptations. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials and troubles. The word temptation here is the Greek word for trial and trouble. It doesn't mean just being tempted to do wrong. There's only one way the Bible says that you face a trial. Count it joy. Notice you couldn't have felt it joy because a trial doesn't feel joyful. So the Bible says you better count it joy. Count it. Oh, you better count it. Verse 3, knowing this is what you know, that the trying of your faith works patience. You know, not only is a trial trying your faith, but reacting and rejoicing against your flesh and your feelings is also a trial. You're being tested. Will I act the way my flesh feels, or will I react with what's truly in my spirit? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, right? Amen, peace, and so on. Where did I quote them out of order? Does it say joy second or joy third? Second, love, joy, peace, patience, so on. I had that right. The fruit of your born-again spirit is love, joy. Say, well, my body doesn't want to. Well, you better stop letting your body tell you what to do. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith, the test tries your faith, but also the invitation to rejoice tries your faith. But it works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect or mature.
There you go.
What do mature people do? They rejoice. They rejoice with joy. Because he's talking about, count it all joy. Because the working of your faith, you know, or the trial of your faith works patience. Patience will make you mature. And so do you see it all started with joy? That's why I said, let joy grow you up. So that you will be mature, entire, wanting nothing. That means lacking nothing. How many of you want to be mature, entire, or complete, lacking nothing? See, that's the revelation that people have when they jump up and shout. They shout not because they need your attention. They don't need to fit some label of, well, that's what charismatics do. I don't care what charismatics do. Well, that's what Pentecostals do.
But the Baptists don't do that, or the Methodists don't do that, or this denomination doesn't do that, and the charismatic. Since when are we charismatics, Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, or whatever? The Bible says there is neither male or female in Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. You know? The Bible doesn't say, well, okay, God didn't hand out scripts to the different denominations saying, okay, this denomination, you be a little dry and less expressive. Charismatics, you be overly expressive, and you be a little expressive, and all this stuff. He didn't do that. He gave us all the same book. He gave us all the same instructions. And he says, I'm not a respecter of persons. I will not deliver my power based on partiality. But whoever so will, whosoever will actually do the scriptures and demonstrate them in the midst, I'll show up. And I will show myself strong on their behalf. And so you say, well, this seems weird. Well, it's not weird when you see it out of the scriptures. What might be weird to you is seeing people that actually act and do the scriptures. Because I believe that the words of the Bible are clearly not just to be read on the page, but they're to be demonstrated in life. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves later on in the same chapter, right? Well, let patience have her perfect work, because it all started with joy, maturity, you being complete, lacking nothing. So what possibilities are there when you rejoice? Unlimited. Because you, lacking nothing, there's nothing withheld from someone that will rejoice. The earth will yield her increase. He'll surround you with favor like a shield. Why? Because notice it's always connected to rejoicing and praising. I didn't quote all of Psalm 63, verse 3. Why don't we bring it up there? Psalm 63, verse 3, and we'll get ready to close this up. Psalm 63 and verse 3, we'll start there. Praise the Lord. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. God's loving kindness. And so my mouth is going to rejoice and respond. I'm going to praise him. I'm not naturally a loud person. I would just prefer to be reserved. Verse 4. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Well, there's another expression of joy and faith. Verse 5, and here's what we're trying to get to. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. I know I always say it. People look at it and say, well, I wouldn't want to do that then. I don't want to be fat or whatever. Well, it's not talking about that. It's talking about being fully supplied. That God is going to fill you up. You wonder why life is unsatisfying for the world? No matter how much money they get, no matter what job they get, no matter what car they get, what house they get, no matter what. You ever seen that? That there's nothing that ever satisfies that comes out of natural life. I mean, there's things that we enjoy. But you know what? You have it for a little while and then it goes away. Vacations come and go. Clothing and material things and money, it comes and goes. And you know, and you think there's like an initial shot, but that joy doesn't stay. You ever seen that? You know, you get a new gift or something, and you know, the first few days, woo, you know, and then after a while, it just becomes just like everything else you have. And we're always grateful for what we have. But if you want to be satisfied in this life, what people who are unsatisfied, they're unfulfilled, is because they don't praise. They don't rejoice. They're unfulfilled. People go to church for years and they're like, I'm unfulfilled. Well, it isn't that church's fault necessarily. I mean, especially if they taught you to do this. But it's our job to teach the word. But when we teach the word and you actually do what it says, it will fulfill you. It'll fulfill you. I know I'm mowing someone's grass sideways here today. I know I'm petting the cat backwards somewhere. Well, you know, it just seems like anywhere the ministry of Christ will go, what was Jesus? He was a chief cornerstone to build their life upon for those that would receive him. But remember, it says that he was also a great stumbling block. Remember, he was a great stumbling block for those who would not receive him.
Either Jesus and his word is what you build your life on and you commit yourself to doing it, or you stumble over the promises of God and the instructions of God. There are people even here today that stumble with this. Say, well, I'm just not going to do that. I just can't bring myself to do it. Well, you'll stumble. And what you could have built your life upon now is crushing you. Because it's destructive to know the truth and then not do it. It's destructive for someone to know what the word says and just say, sorry, the flesh is going to win today. Come on. And that's true for every single one of us. Amen. But if you want to be satisfied, if you want to be filled, notice he says, my mouth shall praise you. God is going to fill the praiser. He is going to defend the praiser. He is going to favor the praiser. Come on now. Praise the Lord. Those that choose to have joy over those that just choose to be. Say, well, you don't know what they're going through. Listen, that's why I began this message today. You're right, I don't. I haven't gone through all your trials. You haven't gone through all of mine. But none of us went to the cross. None of us went to the grave. None of us went to hell. Jesus rose again 3 days after being buried and descending into hell. He rose again and conquered everything in the world. And now the Bible says, at least you can do is praise him. The least you can do is praise him. And when you do, when you count it joy, you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be grown up. You're going to be defended. You're going to be surrounded with favor and a shield. So why wouldn't you want to just be a doer of the word? Amen. Well, this was interesting. It's good for God has for this day and this hour. Receive it. Say, well, Pastor, you know, I mean, we don't put, say, well, is every service like this? Well, no, not everyone is. Some of them are more rowdy. Some of them are less. You know, because the Spirit does not do the same thing every single day. If you go into a church and every service is always the same, no matter what, year in, year out, then you know man is running the show there. Right? Because none of us can predict. You know, I'll just be honest. I knew there was something, you know, I said yesterday, I kind of just chose something. I was prepared, you know, I had my sermon ready to go. And then we get here and the Spirit says, I want you to do and say something else. Because that was what was needed for the hour. I've done my part to study. I'm prepared. I am ready to go. But you will never come to this church and have it just be the orders and the dictations of man. We will be Spirit-led here. Amen. The Word of God is always first. You say, well, Pastor, I have questions. Well, questions aren't a problem. Thank God. The only bad question is a question that goes unasked. You ever have questions in this church? You can make an appointment with me. You can email me. I will personally respond to your questions. And all's the requirements I had when I became a Christian is just show me in the Word. Just show me. And not just show me with some obscure one scripture in the Bible, but verse after verse. Because Jesus said that the truth will be established through two or three witnesses. So I don't just pick, you know, verses. Obviously, we went through several of them. I quoted even more. And we do it because it's clear and distinct in the Word.
That's right.
Amen. Did you get some help here today? Amen. Just remember, it's okay. You're going to make it. You're going to get to the other side of this thing. God has not forgotten you. He has not overlooked you. You are going to make it to the other side. And that is an anchor to your soul. Let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. How do we thank you for what we've heard? Father, we thank you that this is a church that we get answers for our life out of the Scripture. And here we are needing encouragement and you provided it. And then to some, it can be conviction as well. And Father, we all have come from different places. We all have different histories and backgrounds. And you're merciful, and Lord, you're patient, and you allow us to learn these things. Sometimes we don't do these things because we just haven't been taught, and we just never saw it in your word. But Father, we know what the Spirit is saying to the church today, is that good cheer is our answer. Counting it joy, rejoicing, praising, even in the midst of a trial. That's our answer. And Father, we thank you that we've been told we're going to get to the other side. We can help the situation by praising. It'll move it faster. We don't have to use our own strength. We don't have to be out there laboring and agonizing and being frustrated about every single thing. Our job is not to conquer the world. Our job is to rejoice and praise the one that did. Thank you, Father, so much that you have deprived the world from its power to harm us. Yes, we get tried and tested, but Father, the answer is always in our mouth, praising God, counting it joy. Thank you, Lord. We just give you all the praise and glory. With every head bowed and eyes closed here this morning, before we dismiss, we're still in an attitude of prayer, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Tim, I'm unsure about my eternal destiny. I am unsure that if today was my last day on earth, I don't know what would happen. Well, I'll tell you what, you need to leave here sure then. Because here's the truth. There is a hell to shun, but there's a heaven to gain. And when we were lost in our own sin, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of God's glory. We all fell short. And so God made a way. See, the religions of the world, the false religions of the world, always paint a picture of God reaching out, or excuse me, man reaching out for God, that we're trying to reach out for him if we could just find him and grasp him. But the truth is that God reached out to us. And he did so by sending his son, who is perfect in every way, never sinned. And then he was counted as a criminal. He was put on a cross like a criminal, and he bore the punishment for all of our sin. And he became responsible and guilty of our sin so that we could be innocent like he is. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. He died, and 3 days later, he rose again, showing the world that God was ready and willing to forgive their sin and wash them and cleanse them and give them new life. The resurrection told us that heaven is real and eternal life is available to every single soul. And so if you're here today and you'd say, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life, well, then today's your day. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to give you a microphone. I'm not going to call you down front this morning. But right there in your seat, if you say, yes, I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I will then have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. He says in Revelation 3:20, he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Meaning he's knocking on the door of our hearts. I just encourage you, let him in if you need to. If you're here this morning, you've never done that. Could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anybody here that you've never made Jesus? Thank you, I see that hand and that hand. Is there anybody else that you'd like to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Thank you, I see that. Is there anybody else that you'd like to pray and ask the Lord into your heart? It's the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. Some people say, well, Pastor, if I do that, is it going to make me crazy like those people? Well, maybe you should ask the question. The answer should be, it'll make you joyful like those people. Joy is what you want, isn't it? You're not afraid of being happy, are you? So thank you. We've had several hands. We're going to go ahead and lead everyone in this prayer. If you lifted your hand, make sure you speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them in your head. Prayer is talking to God, not thinking to him. Let's go ahead and pray these words together. Everyone pray this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.